that's the thing is like, I like to have a good time, obviously. And there are certain things that like, they have to come before things. Like obviously in our generation and in our society, we see drinking as like super, super fucking normal. Where you don't realize like for people who have like depression, anxiety, bipolar, like any of these fucking crazy mental illnesses that like, yo, these things make it fucking worse.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Kids at Work, Matt Corman podcast. Thanks for tuning back in, guys, ladies and gentlemen. I know that, you know, we haven't dropped an episode in like 3 months. I told you guys last week I was going to start dropping episodes again. And I said the new direction is going to be having a bunch of entrepreneurs on, having a bunch of musicians on specifically within my network. And because I met a lot of cool people in life. And I have my first guest. I have 12 guests lined up right now. We're going to be dropping every week, so you can expect that. But my first guest here, I got a little introduction for you. So that's pretty exciting. You probably heard of him from his hit songs such as Jeepers Creepers, Brown Rice.
Oh, we're fighting now.
And that's actually the first song I heard of you. And shit's fire. And we've lost touch. Over 200,000 followers on Instagram. It's a fuck ton. 95,000 on Twitter. 61,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. He's amassed over millions and millions and millions of streams, and he's developed a cult-like audience, which I have seen and been very impressed by firsthand. It's kind of crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast recording artist, producer, director, engineer, and my buddy Mike Stead. How you doing, Mike?
And all-around piece of shit. Hello, welcome. what's going on, bro?
And all-around scumbag.
All-around scumbag. Thank you for the intros. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm chilling, man. I have been getting tattooed all day, but happy to be on the... I have two different artists I usually see. One of them, obviously, because COVID, the regulations are a little bit different. He works at an actual shop, so those shops are closed versus the other guy I go to has his own private studio. So he can obviously kind of do whatever he wants. So, it was good. Stoked to be on here. Stoked to talk about all sorts of shit. We're allowed to cuss on here, right?
Dude, fuck it. Originally,
phenomenal. So,
perfect. This is like the 32nd episode. Originally, it was just like me chopping game with like my buddies or whatever. And now I'm like trying to just get more and more entrepreneurs on and kind of get in this lane.
Sick. Okay.
But you can talk shit because we used to talk about like sex stories and like, you know, college shit and a bunch of fucking shit. But no, to be honest with you, man, I genuinely, I'm excited to have you on. You were the first guy that came to mind, and duly because we're not like super close. And I think that it'd be awesome if like, you know, I'm excited to get to know you more. You know, I'm sure like I have questions about you, which I'm excited to hear about. And like, cause you, you know, as dick sucking as this is, you know, you seem like you're very unique, you know? And I think
that's
you can attest to that.
That's not dick sucking at all.
Yeah.
That's not dick sucking. That's a good joke, but I appreciate that.
You know what I mean?
I'm a very strange creature of a human, but yeah.
Bro, but it's like, it's super different. I mean, I've been making music for a while now, and I know you have as well. And it's like coming across a person like you, it's very different than like what you see in other artists and stuff.
I appreciate that. I mean, I think that's something we can obviously dive into that a lot more. I think that nowadays, like first off, there's so many fucking artists out. There's so many fucking videographers, dancers, anything you want to be. There's a million of them.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do something, you need to stand out. You have to separate yourself from the crowd and not in the way of like, oh, my music's a little bit different because I make trap soul and not R&B. It's like, no, fuck you. Like you need to be yourself and you need to bring something new to the table that people haven't already seen 1,000 times. Yeah. So that's just how my head works, but I'm usually just very unfiltered and just myself. So people are like, oh, this kid's just a jackass.
Bro, it's interesting though, because you like, before we get into that, I want to take a second and dive into, you know, why it's kind of like that. So I know from what I read about and from talking to you, Washington, DC area is kind of where you grew up, right? Can you kind of take me through your background and can we dive into like family life a little bit and what your upbringing was like?
Yeah, so I'm born in like Alexandria, which is like right outside of DC. I grew up in Fairfax, and then I moved to Loudoun County when I was like fourth or fifth grade. My parents split when I was young, but they're cool shit. We're from like a decent area. I fuck with the Northern Virginia, DC, like the DMV, that's what we call it.
Yeah.
Like DC, Maryland, Virginia. I fuck with it really hard. Obviously, like, I've lived in LA for five plus years now. And it's a completely different vibe, but like, I have like 150 tattoos. So like, if I were to go home and like get dinner with my mom at like a restaurant in DC, they stand a little bit farther away from me. Cause it's like, oh, this kid is terrifying.
He's here to kill people.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like totally different vibe. Obviously, like I still rep DC. I still fuck with DC super hard. The last tour that we did, we didn't actually get to do a show in DC. We played in Richmond.
Why not?
Which was kind of upset. It was like a booking thing. It was like our agent couldn't get us a show that made sense on the route at the time. We'd have to like drive up and down. So we were like, fuck it. We'll just do Richmond, which is fine. But yeah, no, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's a pretty simple story as far as like, I moved out here when I was 20. I went to University of Maryland for 2 years. I was like a fucking straight A kid in high school.
That doesn't surprise me.
Nah, I was like a fucking nerd, but I still like played sports and shit. I don't know. Parents were fucking hard on me. So nah, I went to University of Maryland for 2 years studying marketing. And then I transferred and went to a trade school out here for music production and audio engineering. So technically I have a degree in audio engineering, you know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But that's it. I mean,
nice.
Well,
I mean,
obviously it's more complicated, but simple story.
Nice. Well, you're one of the few people out here that are actually like, you know, using the degree for what it is, right?
100%. I mean, if not, you go broke and then you're fucked.
Yeah, exactly. Fire. Yeah. So I, after doing a little bit of research on you, you know, you said you played sports. It looks like you played lacrosse, right? And,
I miss lacrosse.
Yeah. I played lacrosse too, bro.
Bro, I used to fucking headhunt kids. I was a piece of shit on the field because I was like, I mean, I'm 6'4". You've met me. I'm a very large person.
Bro, big guy too. So people don't know. I don't think people know that enough.
There's so many huge people that I meet from the internet or like when I meet on tour that are like, oh, this kid is fucking large.
Exactly like, how I felt, bro. Yeah. As soon as I met you, I was like, damn, because you got hella pictures, you know what I mean? But like when you see somebody in person, I'm like, oh my God. Like, yeah, I did not see that coming.
That's the thing. I never take photos with anybody. It's like always just usually myself. So it's like, there's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I was skinny as fuck in high school, but like I used to just headhunt motherfuckers. I'd be on the fucking field and be like, all right, I'm a ruin number 8 game today. I'm a ruin number 8. Fuck you. And I'll just hunt you the entire time.
Just going crazy. Were you a long pole?
Yeah. Nah, I was midi.
No shit. I could see you as like a long pole midi type guy.
Nah, I mean, but I was too skinny at the time, bro. I was skinny as shit.
No shit, dude. You're not skinny anymore.
I was fast. Like I'm a sprinter. I have the cardio of a 12-year-old girl. So I honestly give me the ball. I'll get it down the fucking field, and then I'm capped. It's like I'll beat anyone in a 40-yard dash. At least I used to be able to, but like not now. Fuck no. I'm dying now.
Yeah.
You turn 25 and your body starts shutting down.
Dude, everything. I'm 25. Are you 25?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything kind of shuts down, dude. Well, I mean, Maryland. In that area is filthy. I'm from Massachusetts, but like we are pretty good. But like as soon as you get down to like Long Island and Maryland, like it's a different breed out there.
New York and Maryland lacrosse are so different. That's a different level. I played travel during the summer and like I wasn't shit compared to any of these kids. I was like, yeah, these kids are disgusting.
It's funny in life, like you like go, like you think you're nasty in your hometown and you go out and you're like, oh, okay, this is how we actually play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, okay, never mind.
Exactly. So, all right, cool. Grew up playing lacrosse and stuff. Before I get into the whole music thing, because I got a lot of questions for you, but what is, I want to drive some influences out of here, man. So like, you're going up, you know, you're in it sounds like a smaller town outside of the city. No, it's pretty, Alexandria's pretty big.
Relatively large area, but like, just like, I guess Fairfax, Fairfax is a fucking huge county. And so is Loudoun. Like, honestly, both those areas are pretty big. They're not like small town vibes.
But when did you start making music and diving into that?
That's crazy. I actually started, I don't know. Give me a second to give you a formal answer.
Yeah, that's fair.
I started fucking around. My story is kind of interesting. I started fucking around with music when I was 18, when I was a senior in high school. I downloaded FL Studio. I downloaded the Fruity Loops like demo. And I was just like a piece of shit, just like kind of playing around like with learning how to like make beats and I still have them on my computer to this day.
Cause no shit.
The worst fucking beats you will ever hear. And it's insane. It's so funny to me. I keep them to humble myself. And I was just dicking around, like honestly having fun, like not ever seeing a career towards it. And then at the time, we, you know, like you played sports. Yeah. So there's always like your warm up tape for whatever fucking sport you played. So like the seniors would always like make the warm up tape for that year or that season. So me and my buddy like made a warm, actually, he didn't really help me, but we made a fucking warm up tape, and then it ended up getting adapted by like half the fucking school.
No shit.
For like other sports, because they're like, oh, this shit goes, like, it's well mixed, this is a good John, like great song selection, blah, blah, blah. So then my homies were like, you should DJ. And this was before like EDM and DJing was like really a big thing. It was like kind of right when it was up and coming. And I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm down to like get into it and give it a shot. And yo, hold on, my computer. There we go. Yeah, so then all of a sudden, next thing I know, I'm in college. I had been DJing for a little bit, and I'm playing gigs in DC, like left and right. Like my buddy and I teamed up, and we started DJing together, and we're playing like shows. Like we're playing in Miami, we're playing in Canada, we're playing in fucking like,
what, yeah, the fuck, playing, dude?
Yeah, I used to like DJ.
This is when you were 18 and 19,
and then
the fuck,
right up until I was 20, right till I, like my, when I moved out here. And then that's kind of how it was. Like, it just started going well. And, like, we didn't produce music. We were, like, obviously dicking around and, like, trying to figure shit out and, like, learning Logic and Ableton and shit. But then, yeah, that's when I moved out here. So technically, I guess you could say I started at 18, but not really. I'd say I've been producing for, like, 5 years. So, like, since I was 20, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I come from that extra little background of, like, DJing and fucking doing that whole side, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense, dude. I mean, that's pretty, I actually saw a picture of you when you were, I wanted to ask you about the DJ thing. I saw a picture of you with like a long ponytail, and it looked like you were like a DJ at Ultra.
The man bun. Nah, yeah, that venue's called Echo Stage. It's like the biggest, it's like a 3,500 cap venue in DC, and it's like a
3,500 is fucking huge.
It's
bro.
Like one of the top. Yeah, it's one of the top venues in the country. It's like number 1, 2, or 3. I can't remember. It's like really well known for like electronic music. And yeah, there was one night like we'd played there a couple times, and usually we're like the first kind of openers. But there was one night we went right before the headliner, like rehab, and it was just me because my buddy couldn't hit his flight because he was already in LA. So I was just playing in front of like 2,000 plus people, and I'm like, oh, amazing. Man, I'm like 19 playing in front of these
people.
Oh my
gosh, like, oh, that's shit, crazy.
Okay, this is really real. Like, it was wild. It was a good time, obviously.
Yeah. That's fire, man. Then you, so after the EDM thing, you know, it sounds like things were going okay with that. When did you, I know you're making beats. I know you make your own beats. I'm not sure like how you still make your own beats.
I still produce all my own music.
You still mix them? Do you mix and master your stuff too?
Not so much anymore. The last like two or three singles that came out, those were all engineered by somebody else. I have like an engineer that I fuck with, my buddy Liam. He does a great job, and then he's been handling this next EP that's coming out. So it's amazing. Nice. I kind of engineer them. Like I go through and I'll do like the alignment, the tuning, like the slight like little shit, and then I'll send it off to him to do like the creative work and like compression and stuff like that.
Fire, hell yeah. I kind of do something a little similar. Yeah, I do. So I mix and master like pretty much all my shit, but like in like, yeah, I've been kind of like similar shit, but won't keep about you though. And so you're producing. When did it kind of take a turn into, it's hard for me to describe you as an artist. For those of you who haven't really dove in yet, or maybe are new to Mike, you know what I mean? Like it's a little different, right? Cause like there are some songs you're like singing on. And then you're rapping on some tracks, and it's like there's like a lot of emotional like rock, and there's some shit that you like send me some unreleased shit. I don't know. You've been releasing a lot of music, but I don't know how much. It's like heavy type shit, so it's like I don't know. You know?
Oh yeah, it gets so heavy. It gets
spooky
way
out
too.
Here. So I don't know, man. How do you describe yourself?
It's
like very dark. What lane is this?
It's very dark music. Just to give it like a ballpark, like easy genre, just so we can all move forward. I would say like it's like industrial rap, right? Not something that's very common. I make like very underground hip hop. And then at the same time, the music that's slowly what I'm doing right now is all the music that I have like in my back pocket, like in my unreleased folder, is basically industrial metal. And yeah. I grew up on rock. I grew up on metal. And like, obviously like your sound
there
grows. And like, yeah. So, I mean, obviously like what I'm going to be growing into the fruition of is industrial metal. But as of right now, it's more like industrial hip hop. Which is sick. So I'm still blending that in with the metal. Like if you ever listen to like Limp Bizkit, right? Like when growing up,
Limp Bizkit is, of course.
Like fucking Fred Durst, like obviously the front man. Like
Hot Dog Flavored Water, I had the CD.
Oh, facts. Fucking, I grew up on Linkin Park. So like Shinoda, like I always was wondering, I was like, why the fuck do I want to rap in the verses and sing in the hook? And I'm like, oh, because I listened to fucking Meteora 13,000 goddamn times growing up. Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay. So I'm still like, it's a mixture of a lot of shit. Obviously, it's a culmination of how I, like, what I grew up on and the current styles of myself and everything like that. So obviously it's cool because like that's not, it's kind of against the grain. It's kind of against the norm.
Absolutely.
I don't make fucking pop music. I think that for a while, like as my career was getting started, I obviously experimented a little bit, but I took a couple songs down. I took a couple songs down this year that were like a little bit more poppy or singery. That's what you were kind of saying.
Yeah.
Cause like I fuck with it obviously, but at the same time, it's like, I'm going to shape my sound to be unique and be, you know, kind of branded well.
For sure.
But yeah, that's, I mean, obviously the music that's, it slowly gets heavier and fucking heavier. This EP that comes out next year that I start rolling out early 2021 is destructive. It's very
destructive. Bro, I listen
to it's like kick people in the teeth music. So that's the kind
of
music I
make. No, you sent me a record in that pack of like unreleased shit, and one of them was like kick me in the teeth type shit though. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they're all kick me in the teeth. They're all kick me in the teeth. Oh, 100%.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Did you release
those? Want to fight people.
Yeah.
Which one? Nah, so I think you're talking about some of the ones that are on the first album. Those are like straight industrial metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like, when people hear industrial metal, they think like, okay, so you make screamo scary music. No. Like Nine Inch Nails, industrial metal. They don't scream at all. Like Manson, that's really well-known industrial metal. Like that's the difference. What separates metal and like industrial metal, like being in its little subgenre, is that like industrial metal is a lot of electronic elements, which is what obviously like I came from. I came from the EDM background. I came from producing EDM like songs. So it's like most of my songs now have that industrial side where it's a lot of electronic, not beats, but elements of the sort. So that's what sets it aside. So yeah, there are like some call out screams. There are like an occasional screams for sure, but it's more so like punk rock on steroids, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. You know, yeah. And dude, that's why I like to go through the background first, like before anything, to see like where people come from, is because like it makes perfect sense, right? Like kind of like why you're going to the lane that you are. You said something that I think is really important. Like, as you know, that like I had that Spotify growth guide thing, and I've been like taking a couple artists on and coaching them. And like the one thing like I've been focusing in on these people is like finding a way to make your own lane and make your own kind of brand and image. And what you just voice is like you're not doing pop records, right? But you could be doing pop records, no. But you're not.
Oh, easily, bro. I can write pop records like it's nobody's business.
For sure. And like you also, you know what I mean? Like, you know, handsome guy, you know, got the fucking hair and throw a six pack on him and he's a pop star.
Bro. You know? Yeah, literally.
Like whatever, could be the way, but you're choosing like you don't do that. How did you, how did you come with that decision where you're like, you know, fuck this shit. Like I'm about to go into my own wave, even if it doesn't seem like it's the norm.
I never made the decision. Like that's something that's been hard. And it's hard to like explain this to other artists when I talk about this, because like, I guess there's like a severe ignorancy of it, if this makes sense. Like I sat down and was like, I'm going to make what I want to make. I'm going to take where this, and that's almost what they kind of teach you when you're learning to produce. It's like, yo, just ride it, ride whatever the fucking beat obviously is, like go where the beat's going, right? Mm-hmm. Like don't sit there and think I need to write the next fucking Post Malone pop record. Obviously if that's your job, then sure, fucking do that. But if for someone that's trying to shape a brand and create their sound, like I'm not gonna hold myself back or put myself in a lane or do stuff like that, because it's like, yo, you're just emulating someone else's sound or emulating someone else's brand. So like, even if I started making pop music tomorrow, it would be incredibly different. Cause you got to look at artists, like look at Billie Eilish, right? Look at Maggie Lindemann, and like, look at like, they're like darker, right? They're not fucking Ariana Grande. So Billie Eilish doesn't write a lot of happy fucking go lucky songs. She doesn't wake up and make like, oh, I'm gonna make a pop radio hit because I need to make money and this is what it is. It's like, nah, she came out with like this quote unquote, like dark pop, anti-pop, like same with Joji. They have their own take on what might be cool right now, and because it's their own personal styles, what they've been through, et cetera, or like how they grew up or what they listened to when they grew up. So like for me growing up on like rock and metal and shit like that, and growing up with like Shinoda from like Linkin Park, it's like, okay, cool. I came up with that rap influence without coming up with a rap influence. Like I didn't listen to Lil Wayne. I wasn't really into Eminem. I listened to like East Coast hip hop, like fucking like Big L and fucking MF Doom and fucking Bet. Biggie like and shit like that. Like, yeah. So I was more into like boom bap and shit like that. And
gotcha.
Never, not like fucking the early 2000s rap lane. Like I listened to like Gangstar and shit like that. Like old head hip hop kind of stuff, because it was more interesting to me. But then also a lot of like the rock rap vibe. So obviously like I never like told myself like, oh, this is the music I have to make. I don't have to, or like this, I don't have to make this style of this. Obviously, like you think about it as you hear the end of the, like you have a song finished and then you go, oh, what, like what kind of genre is this? I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm going to sit there and write whatever I think is good or what sounds good and then put it out. And if that rocks, but I'm not going to sit there, because I have friends that are like, yo, I don't know. Like I kind of want to be seen as like the next Lil Peep, but not Peep. Mixed with this, maybe not as much drug influence, but this with this. And it's like, all right, cool, bro. You're coming up with a fucking potion and just putting yourself in a box.
Like, great analogy.
I don't want to be seen as anybody other than Mike's dad, obviously. Like, I don't want my brand to be like, oh, you're this and that. Like, bro, I'm a 6'4 dude tatted up who obviously, like, I'm a big dude. But at the same time, I still wear fucking makeup. Like, yo, okay, that's interesting. Like, you know what I mean? You see my stage makeup.
Absolutely.
I don't give a fuck. I'm a creative, artistic person. But like, you'd think like, oh, cool, I'm trying to be seen as a rapper or as this. Oh, well, why the fuck would you wear makeup? Why would you paint your nails? Well, why the fuck not? I'm just going to express myself and do what I want. And if people want to put me in a different lane, then fuck it. But that's like my personal take on it. I feel like artists shouldn't try to like pigeonhole themselves, snowball them, like get, like put themselves in a lane where you might not even fit in because you're holding yourself back.
I love that, bro. Yeah, man. And more like, I love that, man. And like nothing but respect for it. Genuinely. I remember when I first came across your stuff, it was like, it was interesting at first. Cause like I said, like it was very unique to me. And like you saying like, yeah, like why not paint your fucking nails? Why not wear makeup? And it's like,
yeah, bro,
you're the only dude that I know who's doing that. You know what I mean? In that fucking lane. So it's like, fuck it. Like, say what it is. It's like, you're backing up what you're saying there. I see that, you know, you take a look at your name, right? And you take a look at the image behind it, right? And the tattoos and the makeup and everything, and take a look at it from an outside perspective, from the old white dude. They're like, oh my God. You know what I mean? Like, what's he doing? He's awful. He's a killer. You know?
Nah, it was crazy. What's crazy is like, that's what you'd think.
Right.
I mean, obviously it's more so like, it's like Karens, like the moms, the Karens that are more so will be like, oh, you should, like, I've literally had kids reach out to me and like, I don't respond to my DMs too much, but like, I'll go through them and like, they're like, oh, my parents, like, hate when I listen to your music. So. Yeah, it's a lot. They're like, oh, my parents hate when I listen to your music. And it's like, you cuss a lot. It's like, no fucking shit. Like, I don't care.
What'd you expect, like, bro?
Yeah. So, but what's crazy is a lot of fucking parents rock with my music. I'll have so many people reach out to me. More people will reach out to me saying that their parents fuck with my music than people that don't fuck with it. Like, wow. I've had kids send me videos of them getting home and they're like, their dad is playing Mike's dad, like just vibing, like working. And I'm like, yo, that's fire. Yeah. Because like, think about it, like a lot of the generation, like my parents, they grew up on rock. They grew up like,
oh,
my
dad was good one who, point. I never even thought
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. So my dad was the one that introduced me to Linkin Park. Like he took me to the first concert I ever went to was Linkin Park and Korn. And I was like, this is so
oh ass. Shit.
And oh bro, fucking stacked lineup. And I'm like, dude, this is sick. But then I'm like, wait a minute. I showed my dad, like my dad, a bunch of my rock shit, my industrial shit, and he was like, yo, this is so sick. And it's like, yo, although those people are fucking old, like obviously, they still rock with that music. Like they still fuck with it heavy. And that's something that you can't forget. Like, think about us as parents. Like when we're 50 and like there's some hot rapper, because like obviously our generation was big on the rap side, like Yeah. We'll be like, yo, this dude's got bars. Like,
yeah, he's gonna be, I want to hear them fucking, the multis, the syllables, you know what I mean?
Exactly, bro. So I don't know. I think it's kind of interesting that obviously like parents definitely get scared off, or like the older generation might so, but like look at Manson, bro. Look at fucking Alice Cooper. Look at like the legendary shock rockers, if that makes sense.
Legends.
Yeah. Like obviously, bro, it's a little different because there has been like that shock side of rock and rap before, but obviously it's just in different realms.
Well, where does, so just for the record, your real name is Mike, correct?
My real name is Michael, yeah.
So when did Mike die though?
So this is something I get. I've done a couple interviews, a couple like big interviews, and I still turn it down. It's the one thing I don't answer. It's the one, like I don't explain the background behind my name, if that makes sense. Because that's also one of the most questions I get of all time. And I'm just waiting.
Well, of course. Of course that's going to be asked.
It's crazy because there's a huge story behind it and a very like eye-opening like, oh shit, that's crazy behind it. But I'm just waiting and I'm stalling to tell everybody because I'm an asshole. That's pretty much it.
Let me tell you something. Well, the reason I asked too is because like, well, obviously I'm gonna fucking ask why your name is Mike's dad. But like,
yeah, facts.
I mean, obviously, but like, I used to race dirt bikes growing up, right? And
oh, sick.
Yeah, pretty big in your area too, where you grew up. I'm you know, that area for dirt bikes. But I had a bad accident, and like, if shit went the wrong way, I definitely could have died. And so I kind of look at life, like I say it all the time. I literally said to my boy in the car, like he was talking about some shit with a girl and he's like, oh, like, what should I do with X, Y, and Z? And he was talking about like 7 months out. And then I was like, dude, like you could be dead in a week. Who gives a fuck? Like, you know, like, like work on the problems right in front of me. And I always view my shit as like, I'm lucky to be here. And like, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So like, you know, I'm going to try to be present. And so when I see your name, like that's kind of what I thought it kind of came from, where I'm like, maybe this guy had like some near death experience or some shit and he reborn, like he feels like rebirth or something, or maybe he views life as something like that. So I feel like I could take the names Matt's, like I could be like a Matt's dead in my way. I want to know, even though you're not saying it, that's just like how I relate to it though. Like when I see it.
Yeah. I feel you. It's not necessarily like that, but I can't give too much away about it.
Well then when's it going to happen?
So I'm like holding, fuck, I'm way too close to the mic.
I want to wait
basically, because it's not what you expect. Like you would expect like, okay, oh, maybe he almost had like a near-death experience. All right,
you're a deep
like that,
guy.
Right?
You're a deep person. So I'm assuming.
I'm a very, very fucking deep person. So it goes way deeper than that. It's about like how I grew up, all this shit. So it goes way, way deeper. And obviously like for me, I make music to make an impact and to send a message.
Yeah,
I don't make music for other people. I make music for myself. But obviously, like the reason I do a lot of my music is to make the impact that it had on me as a kid. And like, that's what I want to do, because the message that is behind my name is so fucking meaningful and large that I would rather hold on to this card until I'm on fucking Ellen or I'm on fucking Jimmy Kimmel. And I'll be like, all right, motherfuckers, here's the reason. And that way it's seen and it's, you know, possibly like seen and heard by a larger audience that makes more of an impact, because that's anything I fucking do is to try to make that impact, you know what I mean? So that's why I'm holding out on it.
I get it and I love it, bro. And you never know, it could be sooner than you think that you're gonna have that Ellen slot. You never know, man. Well, fire, man. We'll dive off the name background, but we'll stay in this kind of category, which I wanted to touch on, was like, you know, you being a deep person. And, you know, I see a lot of tweets from you and a lot of stuff. You engage well with your audience and, you know, talk about anxiety and like depression and, you know, mental health specifically, which I think is super important for somebody with, you know, anybody. And, you know, with a platform of your size, I think it's definitely important. I just kind of want to hear you speak on it a little bit and talk to me a little about, you know, some people are ignorant to that stuff. So where does it kind of come from for you, and what has been your experience with it?
I mean, bro.
Hey, hella deep question. I say wicked short.
Yeah, no, it's like holy shit. It's like, where the fuck do I start, dude? It's like, oh,
I know, dude. You didn't expect this, probably. This is not light.
No. I've actually gotten this in another interview before.
All right, cool. Cool.
I don't mind talking about it, because I'm also so open about it. I have a pretty shitty anxiety disorder, and mixed with a couple other things as well. And obviously, like, you know, mental health is, we're starting to see this more as a fucking country, as a planet. And mental health is so important because, bro, people are out their fucking minds and just dealing with a lot of shit nowadays and dealing with things that we didn't have.
Yeah.
There used to be anxiety in like the 90s and it was from simple shit. And now it's just like overstimulization and all the 45,000 of things that we see every single day. And obviously, like, I'm a huge mental health advocate because, dude, it's just, I would rather a friend like be like, yo, I'm taking the next month to work on myself than to be like, yo, I'm gonna party and do all this fucking shit and like do all this shit that's not gonna be great for me, because I'll be more proud of them for like focusing on themselves. Like this year, like obviously, like you met me, we fucking got so fucked up in Boston.
Yeah.
Like I drank for the first time in 8 months this past Saturday. Like,
whoa,
you know me, man. I'm a very like rock star person.
You know, you told me after the concert, like you were like, oh, like, where can we get fucked up? Like that was like your first thing. You're like, where can we get fucked up? And I was like, and every place is closed. It? Yeah. You were,
I know,
and
then we went also to that when we got shitty ass bar.
Yeah.
We went and to when that we trash ass bar. No, yeah. Like, that's the thing is like, I like to have a good time. Obviously. And there are certain things that like, they have to come before things. Like obviously in our generation and in our society, we see drinking as like super, super fucking normal. Where yeah. You don't realize like for people who have like depression, anxiety, bipolar, like any of these fucking crazy mental illnesses that like, yo, these things make it fucking worse. Like you have to take a second out to like, yo, I'm going to take a second to figure out my shit and be a more productive or better, happier person, because bro, like that shit's real. Like I've lost friends to suicides. I've lost, not to be fucking sad and fucking sad for a minute, but like bro, like COVID is more people have like died from suicides from COVID than actual COVID, because people are going crazy locked up in their houses. And that's why I'm such a big mental health person. And like I might tweet like something, or I might post something that's like encouragement of like for people to work on themselves, because it's like, yo, you're not going to get better as a person if you're not constantly trying to adapt and better yourself and fucking, you know, just be a better you. Not to sound like fucking preachy, but
nah, that's, bro, like, that's why I work out.
Like, bro, I don't work out for like the fucking glamour of like, oh, look at my abs. It's like, nah, I work out so I don't fucking feel crazy, because it's like that helps my anxiety. I overthink everything, bro. Trust me.
Yeah. It's crazy. No, I mean, you're 100% right. I say it all the time. My buddy's just like, bro, like when you fucking work out, like I think I'm dead serious when I say this. I think people who are choosing to not work out and to like, you know, do stupid shit with their fucking bodies. Like, not, you know, I don't, do you drink whole milk?
Nah, I drink almond milk.
Me too. People that are still drinking fucking like whole milk, like, you know what I mean?
Shit
like
so that. Bad for you, bro. It's crazy.
I'm kind of kidding, but like stupid shit like that, like in theory, but like when you work out, like if you're choosing not to exercise your body, like dude, your mind gets so at ease, and at a workout, like it's almost like meditation for me, bro.
It is. So that, and like, there's so many studies, and that's the thing, as I was a 4.0 student. I went to college. Like I was very like, I'm a very like a fact-based, fucking logical, reason-based person. So if you can show me the facts that something is good or something is beneficial, or this is how something properly works on scientific research, that this is going to, if X equals this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't argue with science. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to argue with you that like, lifting and running, like those two activities, like heavy lifting and then running, are proved the most to have an impact on your mental health, as far as like helping lower anxiety rates and like lower blood pressure, all this crazy shit. So it's like, yo, you're making the choice to just not help yourself.
Absolutely.
If that makes sense. If I mean, and everyone obviously, look, everyone's entitled to their own opinion and can do whatever the fuck they want with their body. Like, I don't care, but that's just something that I use, for example, that helps with my mental health, obviously, just like you were talking about.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you say it, bro. And I'm like pretty much like a stickler on that shit. Like, yeah, people can have their own opinions and shit, but like, I also have my opinion to tell you, your opinion might be fucking stupid. And like, you know, like, cause people just do, you know why? Cause people are more focused on just like, well, in the age that we're in nowadays with like social media and everything, people are more focused on having you know, what they're looking like on social media, or like what's going on with their friends back in high school, or trying to impress their. I said in one of the songs I just released about how like y'all are still trying to impress the kids in high school. It's like everyone's so focused on some other bullshit.
To the kids in high school, that's mad funny.
Yeah, exactly. And look at you, bro. And it's like people are so focused on bullshit. They don't even know about themselves yet, because they haven't even taken the time to improve themselves. You know what I mean?
I'm a big self-help and a big mental health advocate. So trust me, I'm with you on that, John.
Love that. Let me get into some other shit here. Past a little bit of the mental health thing. I gotta be honest with you, bro. As like other artists that are like, you know, I've done a good amount of shows. Okay. I'm from Boston. You came through.
You crushed Boston, bro.
Yeah. I love Boston. You came through, touring with Rhino, shout out him. And you guys, I don't even know how to fucking word this, bro. That venue right there. Like it was a Wednesday, so I didn't even get to bring out like a lot of people because
it was a Wednesday.
Oh, it was a crazy Wednesday, bro. And Wednesday, right? It's hard to sell tickets on a Wednesday, Mike.
It's very hard to sell tickets on
a Wednesday. Bro, I've opened for Hello Kids there. I've had my own headliners there. Mike's dad came through to the Middle East, and I've never seen like so many people from an out of state artist come through to a venue. Mind you, before you say what you're gonna say. Show before that. I know. Packed out. Mike, how the fuck?
Wait, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Mike,
you're right.
Mike, okay. How the fuck? Because this is what artists struggle with, right? Artists may have good music. Artists may be trying to do all the right things. Like, I feel that way sometimes, too. How did you build such a loyal and engaging audience where there are... Because some artists are popular, but they can't sell the fucking ticket. But they'll get the streams.
There's so many fucking artists like that, bro.
So what's good, Mike? You know the question.
So, authenticity.
Okay.
That's pretty much it. Like, it's crazy how it's such a simplistic answer. Like you said, there's so many artists out right now that have fucking immaculate music. Like, they're really artistic. They're bringing something new to the table. Obviously, the art has to speak for itself. Because music, not to sound corny, is art at the end of the day. So, that has to be number one.
It's not corny.
You know? But then you have like mixed in with the music, right? Like you have this level of like whatever you speak about and whatever you want to talk about, sing about, rap about. If you're kind of like lying and like it's not real and you're just kind of like fraudulently fucking, like I have friends that like make like heavy rap, like drill rap that are like very like, oh, I tote Glocks and I shoot people and all this. And I'm like, I know you. You live with your mom and you eat ramen noodles. Shut up.
You lying. So it's like, that's cap.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like that's, and people know. People can tell because like you can tell if you listen to heavy rap and you know someone that's from like the trenches of Chicago. It's like, oh, this dude's rapping about some scary shit. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
So it's like very, it's authenticity. And that goes beyond the music. Obviously, it goes into how you present yourself as an artist or as an entrepreneur. Like whether you're selling fucking books or whether you're selling fucking music, if you are not authentically yourself, people are going to feel it. People are going to go, all right, this dude like is not secure in himself or not secure with the art that he's creating. And I can name 100 artists right now and start a list that are like that because they feel like their numbers don't represent them well enough or this. They don't have this and they feel weird about this and this and this. It's just like, yo, no one gives a fuck, bro. Like at the end of the day, like we all die. Like, not to be morbid, but like at the end of the day, it's like, bro, like what you do, like yourself. Walk around with your head held high. Don't be a dick, obviously. Don't be a douchebag. But at the same time, like, strut your shit. Rock your shit. And that's really what kills half these artists. Like, you're going to look at Youngblood. You're going to look at MGK and be like, yo, these dudes aren't... Like, those dudes are so authentically themselves that no one can deny it.
My favorite artist, by the way. Like,
facts. Great dudes. Like, you can't deny, like, Russ... Dude might have the personality sometimes and piss people off and be kind of a douchebag. And he knows he's like, I'm arrogant as fuck. But at the same time, he's authentically arrogant as fuck. He's himself. And you can't deny, like people can say all this shit about Russ, but you can't deny like the work he's done. You can't deny the plaques. You can't deny the fucking fan base. And it's like, huh. Although this dude is hated by so many fucking people, this dude is one of the most prosperous fucking money-making artists. Sells out arena type Johns, like it's insane.
Actually sells out arenas. And you know, literally no, sells like out says arenas, it's like, bro. Well, who's selling tickets, you know?
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's what we're talking about.
And it's like, kind of like you. That's how I feel.
I can't sell out an arena. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's more so that I think that's the secret.
Yeah.
People are afraid to be themselves. People are afraid to be vulnerable, right? People are afraid, like I can name 50 artists right now that you'd ask that question 5 minutes ago being like, oh, what do you think about your mental health? Like, do you struggle with mental health? And every artist who's supposed to seem hard or supposed to seem fucking tough is going to go, oh, nah, man, I don't suffer from any of that shit. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, nah, bro, be real.
Like, yeah, we all get sad. Like, you know what I mean? Be authentic and let people know that you're a person. Let people in and be vulnerable. And that's the thing, is I think a lot of people are afraid to be vulnerable. I think a lot of people are afraid to get that hate or get, be told like, this isn't good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
It's like, bro, roll with the punches and be happy with what you make. Like, I know every song I make is in a fucking pop radio smash. So
don't set
the bar for yourself that high. You know what I mean?
I love that answer.
That's my take on it.
Nah, man, that's amazing, man. And I feel like, I feel similar to you where it's like, bro, like I'm on my, like I have a podcast, you know what I mean? Like I try to be as authentic as I can. You know what I mean? Like I drop songs and like, they may have like just like 1,000 views on YouTube. Like I don't give a fuck. Like I have like YouTube videos up with, like, I told you the stats of this thing, right? We're not doing millions of streams here, but it's like, I don't care. Cause at the end of the day, when I'm playing my shows and I'm interacting with my audience who choose to type in Matt Corman every day, like, well, what the fuck's going on? Like what drops or what's going on right now? That's all I give a fuck about. But there are so many artists that are missing out on developing an organic audience because they're so focused on having like some sort of image that they like, they can't have that. You know what I mean?
I mean, obviously like there are certain levels to like your image, right? Like obviously there's certain things you should and shouldn't do. But it should never like put you in a box.
I completely agree.
Like think about it this way. You could put me on a rap show. You could put me on like Rolling Loud. I will still play a little bit of my rock shit, but I'll probably stick to my rap shit because I am technically a rapper. But I am all, then you put me on Warped Tour and I will play all my rock shit and I will fucking rock that audience because it's being like fucking, the word that I'm escaping me at the second, but it's
knowing your audience
and being like, no, it's not even knowing your audience, it's just being malleable and being able to adapt and being authentic and just knowing who the fuck you are, what kind of music you make and what you bring to the table.
Yeah.
You know how powerful that is? There's a lot of people, especially in musicians and artists in general, like if you make paintings and shit, that are fucking insecure as shit. And I'm not saying that I'm not insecure about things every now and again.
Sure.
I'm just saying that insecure to the point where they spend 3 months working on one song and then they think it's not good enough. They spend 24 hours straight painting this beautiful painting and all of a sudden, because they're a perfectionist, they don't want a list to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you will hold yourself back. You're obviously there's, the world works in weird ways and there's people that are actually going to be against you over time, especially as you get bigger. That shit's weird. But like, you're going to hold, you're your biggest enemy. I know everyone says it, but like, it's crazy. Like you really hold yourself back from overthinking and not doing things. And if like you really like detach yourself from the art side of it, obviously like make the coolest art you can, but you know, say you put out a song that you're like, this is it. This is the one that's going to blow up and it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go cry and sit in a corner. Dude, you hit the fucking drawing board and you release another one and another one and another one and another one and you just keep going. Like, bro, there's nothing. If you get insecure about it, then it gets weird. It's not fun anymore.
Absolutely, bro. You are spot the fuck on. That's why I've been like, I preach that shit because like, I've been doing a song a week for like, since like August or May. And like, but just because like I have the ability to do that, but it's like, I'm not fucking holding back anything. And like, if you guys don't like it, like I actually don't give a fuck because there's somebody out there who does give a fuck about that song. It's going to help them that day. So like, whatever. Yeah. I don't give a fuck if I didn't get popping yet, because that's not even like the goal right now. But regardless, I want to take it back to this. Is like, I remember we had a conversation back like, God, that had to have been July, on FaceTime when I was in San Diego. And, you know, we were talking about like your music and dropping shit. And I remember I was like, why aren't you, like, you haven't dropped that much in a little bit.
Nah.
That was back then though. But at least now you just dropped, you know, 6 feet, and, you know, you just dropped another record too, which you got a music video coming out. I don't think you put Sunday, or did you put the release date yet?
Yeah, Sunday.
I'm announcing shit for you, but like,
it's not good.
But no, I'm happy to see you putting out music too. Cause it's the end of the day. It's like, bro, like I felt you, like you were like, I like your shit, you know, I'm a fan.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, why aren't we like, where's like, let's get some more going, you know? So I felt like you were kind of holding yourself back by not putting out as much music. So I'm psyched to see you rolling it out, bro.
It's not even that.
No?
It's really not even that. No. It's this a weird way of looking at music. Supply and demand. Right?
Okay.
Obviously, like, if you look at, like, if you, like, I have homies that are signed to, like, big labels, like Capitol and majors and shit like that. And technically, 3 months is, like, the rollout of like your big single. Three whole months, including your music video, press, blogs, fucking contests, all sorts of shit. All sorts, every fucking possible thing you could think of to make, to potentially make a single pop, especially with like middle tier up and coming artists. They want like some single that's really going to set them over. So they're going to do a whole TikTok campaign and a music video and every fucking thing that they can think of, right? Like, that sucks. 3 months?
Between, I feel like that's a long time, bro. Like, that's like a long time.
That's a lot of time. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is like, bro. So obviously, as you get bigger as an artist, I think that you have to read the room. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I personally think like putting out a song too often is creating more supply and the demand comes down. I mean, that's economics. It's simple bullshit. Sure. Like, that's a weird way of looking at it, obviously. But like, bro, like, there's a reason why. When's the last time you heard Kendrick Lamar drop an album?
Mm-hmm. I haven't.
We don't know. Because exactly. Because he hasn't. And the second he could drop an album tomorrow and it without promoting it, and it would probably go platinum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, I'm not comparing myself to Kendrick Lamar. Let's not do that. But I'm saying that like there is a certain level of understanding when and where, you know, a time and place for where you want to put out your music. Obviously, if you're just getting started, it's important to have more content out.
Yeah,
I'd rather more so focus on rolling out a song, but rolling it out well. Giving it, even if it's like one song a month, then it's like, I'm still going to roll it out. I'm still going to shoot a cool music video. I'm still going to have good visuals. I might write some ads. I might do some marketing. I might do a contest. I don't really fuck with TikTok campaigns because, bro, I have a lot of followers on TikTok. And like, I don't know. I just think it's kind of corny.
Yeah.
But that being said, it's like, it's the way that you do it. Obviously, like, I didn't roll out a lot of music in the first 6 months of the year. But when I did give them time, they obviously did a little bit better.
I love that.
And it's more so for what you're trying to do, because I'm at the point now where I'm trying to garner a bigger fan base. Yeah. Obviously, I need to please the fans that I already have and keep them around. But at the same time, it's like I'm also trying to gain new fans, and I'm trying to make sure that these songs like do well and perform so that they make their way around. You know, like people might hear this song and this, and they might go, oh, fuck, I know that from somewhere. Oh, wait. Oh, who the fuck is Mike's dad? Why do I see this kid's name everywhere? Oh, fuck. Like, you might know me from random different places, but you're going to fucking know my name in the next 5 years because, like, I'm annoying and I'm everywhere. Like, that's the way I look at it. Because, like, deadass, I know people that are like, oh, I know you from TikTok. Oh, fuck, you make music? Oh, shit, your music's hard as shit. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what the fuck? I know your music. You do this over here. I saw you modeling for this brand the other day. What the fuck? How do you know that, dude? I was like, I am literally everywhere because I like to dip my hands in everything.
Yeah.
But I think I got off completely off topic.
Well, it's a podcast. You can rip it.
Yeah, in effect.
The goal is to talk.
So hold on. Direct me back in the question that we were asking so I can summarize all the whole fucking point that I made.
Yeah, I was excited to see you start rolling out some music because you weren't rolling it out.
Oh, more music. Yeah, so 2021, I have a disgusting amount of music. I basically have all my music for next year done.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just gross. I hate being that far ahead. Because next year I'm rolling out a 6-track EP as well as some singles that'll follow that up as well as my first album. So the singles off that will probably roll out around like the summertime, like late summer and then into fall. And then the album will probably come out in the fall.
I'm still independent, so
it's just like kind of things could change, you know, you never know.
Never know. And I love that with what you said was a good statement. It's what I asked, like, like artists I'm consulting right now, it's like before we start off anything, it's like it all depends on what you're actually trying to do. And so like from an artist, from your standpoint, right? Like I have an artist who's like, he's like, you know, pretty similar in size as you. And right now it's a different conversation when I'm talking to him about how we're going to roll out the music versus someone who has 15,000 monthly listeners or like someone who has like 1,000 followers. When I talk to somebody who has like 1,000 followers, I don't care. I want you to put out as much content as you possibly can. Someone on your stature where it's like when Mike's Dead drops, there's 20,000 people just on Instagram in the fucking like button, right? And then there's there's a lot of eyes on it. We're going to need to mold it and we're going to need to, because there's more eyes on it. So it needs to be more special and more authentic. And so it makes perfect sense on why you're not doing like pushing it, because you already have what those people are trying to get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. At that point, it's like, I mean, next year, obviously, like I'm rolling out a lot, but it's more.
Well, how much
so
are you
like,
rolling out?
I know what you mean. Like, I mean, dude, a six-track project, a six-track EP, which is the biggest project I would ever have out. I've only done up to a 3-track EP. So that's in early July, or early 2021. So like January, I'll probably start rolling out singles, probably do like 3 singles and then drop the whole John. And then I'll have like 3 or 4 singles. After that, just release the singles probably like every 3 weeks. And then everything drops like a music video, and then 10 or 12 track album. Like that's obviously like there's artists like fucking Russ and shit that drop like 4 albums a year, 3 albums a year. Like obviously like it's different, but like,
yeah,
that's a lot of music. That's I'm releasing probably over like 20 songs next year, which is probably more than I have out.
Yeah, bro, 20 songs, you know, in a year for you, it like a part yeah, artist at your session. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot.
That's a lot for of sure. music. Trust me. Like I'm hitting it hard next year because
yeah. like you could do 6 to 8 and be fine.
Yeah, exactly. So like the fact that I'm putting out 2 projects, one of which is my first album, is like, oh, okay, that's at least for me, that's like, oh, I'm going fucking I'm going hard. I'm spending shit ton of money on music videos and shit. So it's like next year will be fun.
Incredible. I'm excited for you, bro. And I'm happy to hear you. Congrats, man. Putting out, that's like a big step. That's kind of how I viewed this year for me. So it's dope to hear you fucking like being like, yo, 2021 is crazy. I'm dropping 20 songs. So that, like, I did not expect. I expect you to come through with like doing a 6-song EP and like, that's it. You know what I mean? Type shit.
Nah, dude, I'm going so fucking hard next year. And it's all like this insanely heavy music. So it's like, oh, good.
Yeah. Good. That's amazing. You're going to get the fucking, the fans need it, bro. And you know, what's crazy too. You know, we're talking about the music. How I met you was specifically, I actually met you was through the touring and everything, right? And obviously we can't fucking do that because, you know, COVID.
No, I know.
And like, and another thing happened, you know, COVID happened, another thing happened this year, you know, with George Floyd. And I saw you were big, you know, you had a voice in that, and we're an advocate, you know, for the Black community, which 100%. I as well stand very strong for it as well. And so I fucking love seeing that out of you. I felt like I kind of like figured out like out there with my circle and everything of like what the fuck was really good, you know? And so it was tight seeing you out there, you know, protesting and just posting your shit. Like as I was losing hella followers every day, bro. Just, and like, I find out, I don't give a fuck.
That's the one thing about social media. And I don't mean to go on this quick tangent. I don't give a fuck about social media. Mm-hmm. I do not. And like, I got closer to the mic when I said that. Like, yo, I have a very large social media following and I fucking hate it. Like, I hate social media, bro. If I didn't have to use this shit, I would delete those apps right now. Because staring at this shit, watching other people's lives all fucking day is not good for your mental health. It's not good for humans at all. But listen, this is a society that we live in. But like, that's something that you should never, as an artist or entrepreneur, be afraid of, obviously. Like, I mean, it depends. There's different opinions. If you're like, I don't know. I'm not going to get into fucking politics right now. But like,
you good?
If you feel this type of way and like you feel like you can shape the minds of the people that obviously look up to you and shit like that, then let them know. I posted a fucking TikTok of me smoking a cigarette and like wearing like this crazy makeup and shit because it looked cool as fuck. And I lost like 2,000 followers that day.
Whoa.
From me smoking a cigarette. And it was like my first cigarette in over like a year, which I had been like really good about. So congrats. Obviously it's not the best thing. But like, it's that kind of shit that I don't fuck with because I'm like, yo, all right, cool. You're a fake fan. Get the fuck out. I don't give a fuck. Get out.
Bet. I don't need you.
I don't want you here. I don't need you here. If you're not going to support me for who I am as a person and what I stand for, get the fuck out. Bet. So that's something you should never be afraid of as an artist. Like, obviously don't like force your views or political religion. Obviously don't force that on people. That fucking sucks.
Yeah.
But as far as like the protests went, you know, standing up for
that's on some other shit, bro. I'm from, my mother's Black, my dad's white, and I'm from fucking Boston, bro. And like, I didn't come from a rich family either. And like, I look at shit like, and but I grew up on the Cape around a bunch of rich white folks. And so when I view this shit, I'm real as fuck about that. And so like,
yeah,
no, for like me, for me, it's not politics. It's like, yo, you either see it or you don't.
That's basic human rights. That's a human rights issue.
And I don't mean to steer you there. Fucking have to go there. But
you're fine. No, you're totally cool. I'm just saying that like, I was trying to spin it towards like, still towards the music conversation of just being like, yo, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, be authentic. Like going back to that fucking piece from earlier, it's like, yo, like I'm from DC, bro. You want to talk about, that's a melting pot. I grew up with
facts.
Every race of friend. And it's like, I'm obviously, bro, like two of the guys I live with right now are Black. Obviously, like if there's fucking issues in the world that are facing people that I am associated with directly and friends with and around all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit and post a black square on my Instagram and think I did something. I'm going to go, I was protesting for 4 days straight. And it's like,
I saw you.
I'm getting shot at, fucking, I had a shotgun in my face one day. And it's like, yo, I'm going to do what I need to do to make my voice heard, whether it be on my platform or whether it be in the streets. So
yeah,
that's just kind of how I look towards that whole thing. I didn't mean to spur the conversation.
No, bro. I fuck with that shit heavy. And that's why I love this podcast too. Cause it's like, you get to hear a different side from the artist that people like, you never know who's listening. And somebody listening right now and they're like, oh, like, damn, like I feel the same way. Like that's, you know what I mean? Or like maybe they didn't know. Fact. So like it, fact. I love that shit. But we can get out of that a little bit. You recently set someone's hair on fire.
This is why I don't drink, folks. This is why you don't let me party. If you let me party, everyone's gonna die.
Listen, I definitely want to tour with you though, because it sounds like a good time when we're drinking though.
Oh no. Especially this next tour. I have my whole band now and they're all creatures.
That's awesome. Like,
they're fucking spooky creatures. We're all creatures of the night, if that makes sense. And oh, we're all gonna die. It's gonna be bad. But oh yeah, like I said, I was talking about this earlier. It's like my first time drinking in like 8 months. We're up in Big Bear actually on like a snowboarding trip. And
oh, I heard it's beautiful.
I'm actually going snowboarding again tomorrow. It was like a random thing where like my buddy I came with, we went up for a day trip. All of his homies happened to be there, have a cabin. We came back and like we're like, yo, like, fuck it, should we stay? They're like, we don't care if you stay, like y'all are welcome here. We're like, oh, hold on, I'm surrounded by good energy, a bunch of homies and a bunch of good looking girls, I'ma get drunk. Like, fuck y'all. And I got very, very, very lit and I accidentally set a girl's hair on fire and I still feel really bad. It was an accident. I was fucking, you know that noise that a lighter makes, a little like when you just flick it. I was just doing that, like fucking with her.
She have a lot of hairspray or some shit. Maybe that was it.
I had it right next to her ear.
Oh,
she was like talking to me like this, like she's in my face talking to me like about something, and I'm just drunk being a troll and just flicking the lighter next to her ear, being an idiot, and then all of a sudden like the side of her head just goes up in flames, and it went up so fast that I like was like, I just like sat there just like in shock and awe, like yo,
yeah.
I'm so happy it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Like, obviously, it was just, like, a little bit of hair, and she was mad cool about it. She was like, did you just set my hair on fire? And I was like, yo, I did. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I'm so sorry. She's like, you fucking asshole. Started, like, punching me. I was like, listen, it was an accident. And, like, she was making jokes about it, so, like, she wasn't a diva about it. But I think if someone lit my hair on fire, I'd be like, all right, I'm punching you in the face now.
It's like, I mean, listen.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah. Facts. Well, I'm glad to hear that she's fucking, you know. She's okay. Yeah, I definitely,
she's cool.
You know, it shit happens, man. You got tatted up today though. Let me ask you this, man. You got, no, it's not even asked. It's a statement. You got a fuck ton of tattoos. How many?
Yeah.
How many tattoos you got now?
I got 6 today.
My boy's pausing, legitimately pausing. He doesn't know.
No. I think last time I counted, I just add every time I go in. So like, I'll just like have a number in my head and I think I'm at like 133 or something. So I think I'll be like 139. And I counting groups if they're very small. Like I have those X's across my knuckles. You know what I'm talking about? Like that counts as one. I'm not going to count 4 X's as one tattoo. So like, I think I'm at like right around like right under like 140 or something.
So now. That's... I mean, I feel like that's a lot, right? I mean, you may know people.
Yeah,
more.
Yes, that would be a
to
lot
me.
Of
that's
tattoos.
A lot. Okay, bet.
Yeah, I got a lot of tattoos.
I got laced up. By the way, I got one right there.
Oh, this man's out here. This man's tatted now.
So let's say I'm inked the fuck up, bro. Yeah, it just make it happen. My brand and everything right there. But how did you bro? When did you like? Tattoos are fucking interesting, bro. Think about the concept of a tattoo is I'm going to put something here that was never here. I'm choosing to do it for the rest of my life.
Yo, so go ahead.
No, you know, it's just like I'm saying, like, because I got one too and I plan on getting more, but I want to hear from you who has over 100 tattoos.
is, bro, people that good? Like tattoos, like a lot of tattoos, are all fucking psychopaths. And you all, I know you motherfuckers listening. There's one of you at least listening that's hella tatted. And like, I'm a little crazy, bro. Like, for real. Like, there's no one that wakes up and says, I want someone to slam a fucking needle in my skin.
That's what I'm saying, bro. You
for
did a fucking
hours on end. For hours on, I always do full day sessions. I don't do like a little one tattoo. I get as many as I can get in the day. And I cut today a little short. And I canceled my
And you were
going
to go back tomorrow. Mind you,
yeah,
I don't know if
I was
you guys knew that.
Two,
back tomorrow.
4 days back to back, but I wanted to go snowboarding. But yeah, obviously, like getting tattoos obviously is interesting, strange, cool, all in one.
Needle in the arm forever.
When I was like 12, I told my parents, I was like, yo, I'm trying to be tatted. Because this is all listening to rock. I'm growing up on punk. I'm growing up on fucking, yeah, fuck yeah. I was like, I'm trying to be tatted.
Damn,
originally, I was going to do one sleeve.
12's early, bro.
Bro, oh, nah, I was a little goth kid, little punk goth kid, emo kid. I was a little emo kid, bro. I was like, my long hair was wearing like band tees, listening to metal. Like, I was like, no, I'm getting tatted. Fuck you. And my parents are very conservative, and they were like, no, the fuck
no
you are
way
not.
They are?
Oh, nah, bro. You meet my parents and be like, yo, these aren't your parents.
this guy didn't come out of your ball sack. There's no
fucking
way.
These are paid actors right now. For real. Like, they're just as much of a jackass as I am, but like, they're very conservative. They're in business. So it's like,
yeah.
Now, when I was 18, I think 19, I got my first tattoo and I got one on my chest. I ended up actually getting that one removed, which fucking sucks. Don't ever get a tattoo removed. It hurts.
Well, does it hurt worse than the actual tattoo?
Oh my God. It's the worst pain I've ever felt in my life.
Really? No shit, man.
Oh yeah. That's just not fun, bro. It also depends where you're getting a tattooed. I got my chest, which is already a painful spot to get tattooed
what was
in
your,
the first
what,
place.
I gotta know, man. Like, what was the first, what was it and why
I
was
had
it
a,
removed?
I had a flower on my chest. Obviously I wanted something different. And then as I got older, I hit like a late puberty stunt where I like, it was, well, I was literally in college.
Where you grew to 6'4"? Like,
I was already 6'4", but I grew wide. Like my shoulders got broader, so my chest got a little bit stretched out. So the tattoo got a little stretched out, mm-hmm. mixed in with like, I want like a symmetrical chest piece that goes up kind of into my throat. So I was like, listen, like fire. I got this when I was a kid. I'm stupid. Fuck me. And I'm just going to get this removed. And it sucked. But I don't know. I say this to people. I'm a walking art piece because I have so many different tattoos that are so different and represent so much different shit, and some of them literally mean fucking nothing. Like, I have 4 SpongeBob tattoos, like on my fucking leg.
I know,
like,
you
I
get, don't.
Four oh, bro, I have like Funny Johns. Like, I have Bold and Brash, like the painting of Squidward on my thigh. My thighs are all doodles. So like anything from the knees up, anything that a female would see on my legs when we happen to leave the building. All funny as shit. They're all like literal doodles from like either that I've done. Today I got a toilet bowl tattooed on my leg and it says your opinion with an arrow pointed to it. Like amongst the doodles, as well as like a little vampire guy. I have the Patrick, you know, like the like legendary picture of Patrick with the piece of wood in his head and he's holding the hammer.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I have that tatted on my leg. Like, I have that kind of shit. But obviously, like, I don't give a fuck. Like, it's my
body.
That's
art, though, right? Yeah, like, regardless art. Of I mean, it being, is, like, cartoony, it's art,
yeah,
bro.
I mean,
like,
granted,
that's what
like,
it is.
No one sees that shit because it's on my fucking thigh. But, like, everywhere else, it's like, nah, like, I fuck with art as a human. Like, I'm a very artistic, creative person. I paint, I draw. Like, I've been that kind of person. I've designed half my tattoos. So it's like,
fire. That's fire.
That being said, I just enjoy art. I'm going to be an art person and express myself with that, if that makes sense. I think people should get tattoos if they want to.
Well, fuck yeah, bro. I'm psyched that, you know, I wanted to get the tattoo rundown for sure and see what the fuck was going on when inspired it and shit. So,
bro, I mean, there's just like so many different tattoos at this point that it's just like, I'm just going to keep going. Just wait till I have my fucking throat blasted. Then it's a whole different game.
Bro, throat's bro. Who, like, other artists, a lot of other artists have, you know, fucking Arizona's got that fucking, when he got that neck shit done, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, he's got that, like, what is it, like an eagle jaw?
So I just wings. Don't really know what it is. I saw it in fucking person, and I it is like wings, but it's like, that's just crazy. Are you, like,
I've
nervous?
I've seen people.
Yeah, are you nervous about that being,
nervous?
Like, painful?
No. Bro, I have my kneecaps tattooed. Like, once you do your fucking kneecaps.
You have your kneecaps?
You fucking kneecaps, then you can talk to me about tattoos hurting, bro. Like, I have a lot of tattoos in a lot of places, but kneecaps, bro, that was the worst pain I've ever been in. Minus like getting my tattoo removed. Honestly, it's right up there with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
I have a tattoo on the back of my calf that goes like right up, not like directly behind the back of my knee, but basically behind the back of my knee. And that is also like my whole body was trembling. Like it was like, oh, bet. Cool. I'm going to go into shock now.
Is there some sort of like, I've heard this before. I mean, you're definitely, you're insane.
I'm psychotic.
Like,
I mean, facts.
Yeah, you're psychotic. But is there any correlation between like the pain of getting a tattoo? My DJ has like hella tattoos, bro. Like he's not okay. Like, I say hella tattoos to you. You're like, well, like, I mean, but like, he's got considered a lot of tattoos. Like, you know what I mean?
He's tatted. Yeah.
He told me, we have a cool podcast episode, but he told me that getting tattoos for him is very therapeutic and he actually enjoys, as weird as it sounds, like he enjoys being in the pain of a tattoo.
Yeah.
Can you talk about
it? The thing is that you'll ask any, facts. That's how it is. That's literally how it is. But there is a difference, and you'll ask anybody who has like hella tattoos, there's a difference between good tattoo pain and bad tattoo pain. Okay. And bad tattoo pain is the fucking goddamn kneecaps. Like there's a couple spots like that are just like unrelentingly like, yo, this is not fun for anyone here. Like this is like, I am not.
You're looking around like, is everything okay?
Nah, like I am not having a good time, dog. Like there's a couple spots obviously that are just fucking terrible. Like the inner wrist, I don't like the ditch, like where it like in your arm.
Right in that, here?
Yeah, like right that spot, like that hurts. It's not terrible, but these are spots that like just kind of suck. The inner part of your arm, like under near your armpit, the ribs.
Dude, I'm thinking about you don't have ribs tapped?
No, I'm not doing my stomach.
You know what, bro? I'm looking to get like a forearms sleeve thing going.
Yeah, forearms easy. It's not that bad.
I bet. I'm a little nervous about it. So like,
No. The forearm's not as bad. Like the wrist, like the where the wrist meets the hand, that's kind of it just depends. But obviously, everyone has different nerves in different areas. So like I know people that have their whole kneecap and they're like, oh, I fell asleep when I got my kneecap done, but I cried when I got my hand done. And it's like, nah, dog, my hand didn't hurt at all. I've heard so many people be like, yo, hand tattoos are so bad. No, not for me. I'm okay with like bone pain. It's kind of crazy, like my elbow wasn't that painful, which is crazy because my knees were terrible.
But yeah.
And maybe I have more nerves. Like, everyone's body's different. And as far as like my throat goes, like I don't know yet how much of the throat I'll do. Like, yeah. I don't know if I'll be the floating head guy who does the whole fucking thing, or if I might just get a couple neck tats. But
when's that coming, bro?
I honestly like that. That's, bro, when you get hand tats, like you obviously like I can never get a real job. Obviously, I don't want one. But
you'll never.
It's a different.
You'll never need one, bro.
It's a different tone, right? Like if someone sees hand tats, it's like, all right, cool. Like obviously I live in LA, so it's different. But if I go like the Midwest, if I go to the East Coast, some parts
here in Boston,
all right,
bro.
So what do you do? Because you obviously are either A, a tattoo artist, or B, you're in a gang. And it's like,
yeah,
no, for real. Like if you're spot hand on, tats, bro. Like bro, you've seen my hands, like they're covered, like, and it's like, okay, all right. So, but that same thing applies when you do the neck. Except the neck is usually like, all right, so you're in a gang. And it's like, honestly.
So
like,
how many people have you killed? Not who you've killed. Like how many?
Yeah,
people,
it's like,
you know,
yo,
I mean?
Especially when you mix in the 6'4"-ness covered in tattoos with the deep voice and that, all the makeup
people.
Too. It's like, oh, this dude is, yeah, exactly. So the neck is just, it's a big commitment because obviously you can never cover it. And I just don't want to jump into it. And obviously it's always exposed. So you want the right tattoos there. It's easy. You know, you can get a dumb tattoo on your fucking, on your shoulder and no one will ever know. Or your back.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? No one will fucking know. Maybe your friends at the beach. But like, it's not that bad. Versus if you get a bad neck tattoo or like something weird, like that's irreversible.
Yeah. No, I mean, I fucking agree. I appreciate it because it shows a lack of, it shows a, I guess the opposite of lack. I can't really tell what the fuck I'm trying to say, but what I'm showing is like more of a commitment to like, hey, like, because in society, you know, we could talk about it forever and we could have fucking, I don't mean to have too much time, but like we could fucking talk forever about how like as artists, hey, like we both went to college. It's like you graduate and then like, you know, it's like, there's a system, whether people want to say it or not, there's a fucking system set up for people to work in corporate America. And so taking the step of like, yeah, like I'm not going to do that. But then it's like taking the step of, I'm going to ink my fucking body. So I'm going to make sure that no one can ask me to even fucking do it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. 100%. I mean, there was a point I know, I watched a Lil Skies interview a long time ago, like years ago. And he was talking about the first face that he got, where he was like, yo, I'm getting this so that I have to panic.
Yo, that's crazy. He's got that where in a line of like, one of his songs, Welcome to the Rodeo. He says that.
I think he might've been talking about that, where he like got his first face tat basically to force himself to like, be like, all right, cool. Once I do this, I can never, ever, ever get a real job again.
Yeah.
So if I don't play ball when it comes to music, and if I fuck around, I will go broke and be homeless. And he was like talking about that. I was like, damn, I might do that. And then I was like, nah, I'm not going to jump into this shit. I'm not going to jump into the face tat gang too early. That's like, I got to wait. I'm also like very,
I'm surprised you don't have one actually.
Nah, I'm super traditional. Like most tattoo artists will not do your face until you have a majority of your body covered. Most tattoo artists won't do your hands until you have the majority of your sleeve done.
Interesting. So, I didn't know that.
There's like a culture, there's tattoo culture, bro. And like, you'll learn more as you go. And like, most artists will literally be like, dude, I'm not doing your fucking face. You don't even have your throat. Or they'll like, you don't have a sleeve. You don't have this. And if you're like, because my artist, like Eddie, who's a really fucking talented dude, literally was like, I asked him, like, oh, we should do some hand stuff. He's like, you have like three on your arm. And this is a long time ago. And he was like, you need to like fill out the arm more before we do the hand. And I was
like, you gotta like kind of earn your reps. You know what I'm saying?
That you have to earn your reps. When I see these fucking SoundCloud rappers that have like two neck tats, a face tat, and a hand tat, and no other tattoos, I'm like, all right, you're a cornball.
Cornball
immediately.
Yeah.
Unless you're from the trenches or some shit, but like other than that, like you're a cornball.
Yeah. That's some other shit. I fucking love. God, dude. Oh my god. What the fuck was I just gonna say? It was kind of important. Let me open my notes. I just had it in my fucking memory, dude. I just had a fucking good one. I was just talking about, dude, with fucking tattoos. No, I guess that fucking covers the tattoo shit. Oh, fuck all the tattoos. We covered, okay, you know, where you're from, background of that shit, you know, where you're at with the music, what we're going to see for 2021 in Mike's Dead. Talk about a lot, actually. But what I want to talk about is right now, like, I like to be really transparent here, and I know you're super transparent as well, but like, how is everything going on in the personal life right now in Mike's Dead?
Bro, I'm chilling, and it's so wild because I'm never chilling. Like, bro, it's crazy. Yeah, this has been the best year of my life. Like, which is weird and almost an out of pocket thing to say.
No, it's been mine as well. But like,
because I took the time, like I don't give a fuck career wise. Like obviously I care, but like obviously in the last, Mike's Dead's been around for 2 years. So like a little over 2 years.
Time out.
So like,
Mike's Dead's been around for 2 years. That's it.
Yeah.
They're in trouble.
they're fucked. Like dead ass. Like it's, I mean, I've been producing for 5, but like obviously Mike's Dead wasn't launched until June of 2018.
Bro, dude, so, if you've been releasing music, am I correct when I said that? You've been listening to me for 2 years?
Yeah.
Dude, fuck off.
Mike's Dead, it's been around. We're good, dude.
You know?
So yeah,
I'm not trying to get the face tatted. You know what I'm saying?
So all I'm saying is like, obviously like in the last 2 years specifically, I'd say like 2019 was when my career really like shot up, and obviously that's super sick, but you'd think, oh cool, that's like that's gonna be one of the best years of your life. Nah, it was one of the worst years of my life. I was one of the most depressed, like miserable people I've ever been, just based on a lot of different factors, including mental health, fucking medication, and the people I was around. Like a lot of people I was around like were really negatively affecting my environment, and I didn't realize it. And then I finally like took this year basically to put myself in a new environment and really like sit back and be like, all right, cool. What do I need to do to make sure that I'm actually putting myself first and actually happy?
Mm-hmm.
Other than obviously working all fucking day, which I do. It's like the no drinking thing. I realized like, yo, like obviously I can't drink like I could in college. Obviously this affects my anxiety a lot. Obviously I should not be doing this 2 to 3 times a week. Obviously with COVID, that's been very easy. You know what I mean? Cause like we can't do anything. So I'm chilling, bro. I'm in a great place. I'm honestly like very fucking happy, and it's been like natural serotonin lately, which is strange because I'm usually a very nah, I don't want to say I'm a very depressed person, but it's like, the last 25 years of my life have been like that. So yeah. This year's been a vibe. This year's been a fucking super vibe. And honestly, I'm very, very excited to take the energy that I have culminated and figured out in this year into next year and work, you know, really start slamming people with releases and slamming people with all sorts of new shit.
Fuck yeah, bro. And not as a podcast host right now, or like another artist, but like as your friend, bro, I'm psyched to fucking hear that. That's awesome, man. Because especially, you know, seriously, like it's not bullshit and as facade-y as the world and the motivational speakers want to make it out to be. It's not a fucking easy life or a world built out for us. So it's fucking honestly, it's almost at the point where it's harder to be happy than it is to be fucking pissed off and depressed. So,
oh no, bro. So many people in the world right now are just bitter and angry at their own existence, and they just like to yell at everybody because they just hate themselves. Bro. Not targeting anyone specifically, but bro, there's just so many people that are just so angry with the world that we live in. And obviously, like, trust me, like, so am I. There's so many things fucking wrong with this world, but are not content with themselves as people.
Yeah.
And they take their time to just hate and bully and be fucking shitty. And it's just like, that's not a... Whack.
It's shit's whack, bro. And I know you, and I know you get it because I get it a lot. And so I'm sure because I'm way more reserved than you. Like I'm like a rapper, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, but I put myself out there, but I don't have as much of an image that isn't meeting like the norm or what is considered like to be like okay as you do, right? Like we talked about, like, you wear makeup, you have fucking nails painted. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm sure the hate and the bullshit that I get. I'll times it by fucking in the platform wise. I'll times it by 20-30 for real. Probably what you receive, and I, so it's like at the end of the day, I know you know what I'm talking about when I'm saying like there's a lot of you said there's a lot of fucking people out there that are hating and especially when you're running ads and shit, bro. Like you probably see it too. Like on my ads, I got people commenting all the fucking time on my like growth guide shit of like they it's you know who it is, bro. And I'll fucking say it's always the kids who have a profile picture that isn't them. It's like a cartoon.
Oh yeah, bro. Facts.
They're scared of them fucking selves, bro. They're scared of themselves. Yeah,
nah, bro. It's the kids. That's facts. That's so funny. The
facts,
kids,
bro.
It's more so like I see it on like, so I don't really see too much of it because like I think people are more likely to hate on someone that will see it. It's the opposite. People are more likely to hate on like Ariana Grande and say some fucked up shit there because they know she'll never see it. And then when you see it, which is mad fucking funny because I've responded to like comments and I respond to like, I don't get a lot of hate, but when I do, I always respond to it. And they're always
Bro, do you still respond?
I was kidding. I was blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo. And nah, I'm hella nice.
Bro,
like,
wow.
You say some fucked up shit to me, I'll be like, thank you. And then they're going to be like, what?
Yeah,
Be a bigger person, bro. Like, none of your fucking that opinion does not affect me. One person being like, "Oh, you can't sing," I'm like, "Okay, well, let me check all of the other hundreds of thousands of people that think I can sing." Like, it's like I'm not trying to be a dick. It's just like, yo, obviously, like if you felt like that song wasn't good, just say your piece and move on. But a lot of people were just out here bitter as fuck, and like you see a lot of it on Twitter. Like, Twitter is just the cancel culture land, which obviously like that makes sense sometimes, but like. So many people have been canceled for so many stupid fucking things.
Sure.
That like, or that they try to get, like they're trying to get people canceled because of these are like celebrities. So now being a celebrity is now living on eggshells and not having a sense of opinion and not having a sense of self because you have to play into your shit.
Yeah.
And like, obviously I am not that fucking person. I am a fucking asshole. I will fucking tweet whatever I want. I will say whatever the fuck you want. And if you get offended and you want to go cry to your mom about it, I'm so sorry, but.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I think there's a difference between, I wouldn't consider you an asshole. Cause like, you're also like.
I'm really not.
No. You're not an asshole at all. And like, I mean, I'm a kid from Boston. We're both East Coast people. And like, my whole family's from Boston. So it's like almost like a rite of passage is how like normal people act. I hate to say people are like too sensitive or whatever, but it's just like, you're not an asshole. It's like, it's straightforward and it's being true to who you actually are. And it's like, if someone, like I show my buddy a fucking song and I don't know. It's just like shit. Like, I would rather everyone be straightforward. What the fuck's going on than be like very soft. Cause they're afraid to hurt my fucking feelings. But the whole world isn't like that.
No, the world is a mean, angry place. Like, bro, hurt my feelings.
Right,
like,
don't make me any softer.
Bro, I'm used to it, bro. Be mean to me.
absolutely. Facts, man. I mean, you fucking know. You know the fucking vibes.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, dude, we've been going for a while.
We've been on a vibe.
Dude, and I fucking love it. But I wanna kind of steer in this direction before we kind of close off, because like, I want to keep it like at a certain time range, and also I would love to fucking have you back too. I guess so. Here's what I want to kind of close it out with, have you kind of chat with, man. Like let's call it what it is, bro. Like me and you are similar in this sense where like we both went the traditional route for a little bit. And, you know, went to college, and then we have friends that, you know, are working in the corporate America, and we probably could have done that too, right? And, easily. You know, you were a straight A student. You had a 4.0. You're not a dumbass. Yeah. You're smart. So it's like at the end of the fucking day, we chose this kind of route, and then we started it from the ground up. It's almost like starting a startup. What advice, or like, could you speak to somebody who's sitting in their fucking car right now driving or just listening to this on their commute to work that say, fuck that, I hate this shit right now, that want to hop out of it and do something for themselves, but you know, they may be facing some obstacles financially or like whatever it is, man. Like, what words could you give to them, or I guess advice, you know? Does that make sense? It's kind of a broad kind of question.
Don't be a bitch. That's my advice. Like, and I say that in the sense of like, don't talk yourself out of it. And like, because you were talking specifically to people that want to try to do something, right? Like, we're obviously trying to all chase our dreams. We're all trying to chase something. So whether the fact is like, maybe you want to be a musician, or maybe you want to start the next fucking Amazon, like, I don't give a fuck, but don't be a bitch about it. Like, don't sit there and tell yourself, I'm going to start this next week. No, start it right now. If you have shit going on right now, you start it from when you get home from work.
Because
like,
that.
I used to work, bro, like when I lived in LA, when I first moved here, I was piss poor. I was broke as fuck. I lived in a 2-bedroom apartment with 5 people eating fucking nothing but shitty ass pasta and ramen noodles and fucking trash ass food 24/7 and working at a gym, a desk, like a fucking front desk job, getting paid minimum wage while doing that every fucking day, going to school. Still, I was still going to school for audio engineering and fucking coming home and still finding at least 5 to 6 hours to work on my music and work on production every day. And it was like, I didn't do anything outside of that. Obviously, like, I had no fucking life. I didn't socialize. I didn't go out. It was very rare. But at the same time, it's like, am I going to complain that, oh, well, I have no social life because I want to put my career first? It's like, no, don't be a bitch. Don't be a bitch about it. Like, just, that's my thing. It's just, you have to make the sacrifices to get where you want to go. There was years that like, no one saw me. Like, there was years where like, I did not socialize because I was in my studio whenever I was not at work. If I was not working out or at work, I'm working in my studio, getting my production credits up, getting my production craft up, figuring out what the fuck's music I write naturally, like all this kind of shit, and literally just working. And like, obviously the biggest step is starting, especially nowadays, like really like putting your fucking foot on the gas.
Yep.
But financially, like, it's not an excuse, right? Like, I know there's kids that like are fucking 10 years old that have no money, that find a way to make money mowing lawns, to buy a microphone, a shitty fucking $10-$30 microphone, and then find a way to record. Like, fucking NBA YBN Namir recorded his first song on a fucking Xbox controller headset.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's a multi-platinum recording artist.
That's a fire story. I love
That's facts. So all I'm trying to get at is like, a lot of people make a lot of excuses. And if you don't want to do something, like, and I don't mean like, oh, that sounds fun, I really want to do that. If you want to do it as a hobby, do it as a hobby. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to make it a career, you better put in 150%. Like, you better not think about anything else. I wake up and I'm in the position right now where I could literally do no work for a month and it would not fucking affect me. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I wake up and I work 12 to 14 hour days on my shit. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every single day. I take maybe a little break to work out during the day, for sure. I usually take like 2 hours. And then maybe I finish around like 8 p.m. is when I try to cap myself off. And maybe I socialize with somebody after that. You know what I'm saying? So like, what I'm trying to get at is like, I'm still at this position and I'm still trying to outwork half of you. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, is so many people don't really want it. There's so many talented people, amazing music, that just don't really want it, and they don't eat, sleep, and breathe their craft. They're not, because, bro, at the end of the day, like, what we're doing is not easy.
Very hard.
Whether it be, obviously, like, whether it be music or whether it be being an entrepreneur, I don't have the fucking facts in front of me to tell you like X amount of people fail, but like, it's a very large number. It's like fucking 95% of people fail trying to be an entrepreneur. And it's like, cool. So being a successful lifelong entrepreneur is very fucking hard. Like, it's not something to put by the wayside. And people treat it like that. They treat it like, oh, well, then just do this and I'll just, you know, I'll play video games for like 3-4 hours and then I'll write my song.
Crazy, nah, bro.
Fuck you, bro. Like, I don't fuck do you. That shit. I mean, and I'm not trying to be a dick. Like, I'm just on some real shit. Like, yo, like, if you're not going to push yourself to the highest extent, you are not going to be a crazy large fucking arena selling artist. And for me, I don't know. Obviously, everyone has different aspirations. Some people are okay with being like, I want to work a job and be a musician and make money from both. Cool. All right. Do your thing. I'm trying to sell out of fucking arenas and I'm trying to win Grammys and I'm trying to have plaques.
Facts. So
obviously we are built different. So I'm going to take, bro, my ambitions do not stop. Like there's no cap. You know, I could win 5 Grammys and then be like, cool, I'm a win a couple Emmys for directing a movie now or for acting or some shit. Like, well, I'm a just pivot just for fucking shits just because I can. Like, that's where I think people's heads needs to be at. And I'm not trying to be on this tangent for too long, but literally it's like, if you catch yourself slipping, just be like, don't be a bitch. It's not being too hard on yourself. Just like, don't be a bitch. Like, that's what I got.
Bro, we used to have this, and we're very similar in that then, because I our lives are the same, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of that work ethic, that's like all, like, you know, it's the same boat as you. You know, I think me and you are both at this point where, like, we're successful enough, like financially off of what we're doing, where it's like, I could lay low for a month and then like spend nothing. And then like, it would actually be almost be positive. You know what I mean? Like in terms of finances area, but like,
yeah,
there's too much ambition going on. And that's why I'm doing like, that's why I have like the podcast. And like, I'm trying to be a YouTuber right now, to be completely honest. Like, I'm like, okay, if you like go on my YouTube right now, it's like, I don't have a lot of subscribers, but I'm doing a lot of like in studio stuff. And I like am pushing that type of shit, which is cool. Okay. Because like, I know it's like day one shit. Like it's like releasing your first song. So it's like, you know, it's just going to fucking roll from there. But in terms of like, you're saying like, don't be a bitch. When we used to race motocross, we used to have a saying called don't lose. Kind of similar to don't be a bitch, but it's like, so it's like in terms of like hitting jumps though, is what it came to. It's like, oh man, I'm scared. How can that, bro? Like, I don't want to send that. It's like, well, like, did you like drive all 3 hours up here with your dad to pay money to fucking lose? Or are we going to jump the jump?
And it's I mean, dude, I'm going snowboarding tomorrow. Trust me. Like when you go off the fucking mega ramps, same and shit, it's like, if you don't commit 100%, this is actually such a good fucking metaphor. Cause I'd be going off the fucking big jumps when we go. And if you don't commit, like if you fucking
you have to commit,
too much,
you have to, and you're mentally, down, you have to commit.
Yeah. If you try to like slow down or at the last second, like fucking bitch out, you're going to go 30 fucking feet into the air and then come landing down on your ass and break your shit. And it's like, you have to commit. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this game is about. It's just this commitment. It's not an overnight success, bro. Like, I have been technically doing music since I was 18 or 20, if you want to say that. And that's 7 and/or 5 years to be even at my point where I don't even think I'm the most successful artist. I think I'm chilling. I'm middle-ish. So like, that being said, it's like, yo, commit to it. Don't be a bitch. And just like literally send it. If you fall on your ass, you fall on your fucking ass, because that's how you learn. If you put your first song on and it doesn't do well, what can you do better next time? If your first product, nobody wants it, well, okay, hit the fucking drawing board, champ. Like, that's how it is. Like, you don't learn to go off mega ramps and land fucking nose grabs and shit on the first try. It just doesn't happen. So people don't get down on yourself. It's a learning process. And obviously, like, it takes time. Like, bro, like, that's just how it is.
I love that, man. And I hope so many people fucking hear this and stay to this part, man, and hear that shit, because...
Nah, at this point, there's like 30 people here, but it's the OGs. It's the OGs that are like, oh, this is
which is fine then, because they need to hear it then. And it's like, at the end of the day, bro, it's like, God, that is it. When you talked about like committing like 180% and doing everything, it's like, when I know that you had this moment, because I had the moment too, and I know other artists had the moment. It's like when you're like, oh, I'm gonna be an artist. Like, I'm not gonna be the guy working at the gym. Like, I'm not gonna be the guy who's selling over the phone. Like, I'm gonna be an artist, and I'm the artist. That's it.
Fact.
And I'm dying as the artist, and that's it. Or I'm gonna start this fucking business. That's who I am. Until you have that fucking moment, it's probably not gonna work. So you need to fucking have that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not
facts.
We're on the same page as that, bro.
Bro, we're on the fucking same page. But Yeah, bro. I'm glad that we could probably fucking end it there, man. I'm psyched
about that. That was a good thing to end on. Don't be a bitch. Commit to the role.
And dude, I gotta say honestly, thank you very much for coming on the podcast for Fuck many yeah, reasons, and also not coming on here and being a bitch, right? Like you came on here and we talked about a lot of shit though that you didn't have to talk about. Yeah, like you know a lot of transparent shit, personal shit, man. And to be honest, in this industry, and I'm sure that you're aware of, it's like people that like I would say that you have like people that have like, for instance, I have 19,000 followers on Instagram, right?
Yeah.
People that have 200,000 followers on Instagram and like 90,000 subscribers, if I remember correctly, some shit like that. I forget what the fuck it is. A lot of fucking people showing up at shows. They don't pay attention to people that like just because of like that LA shit. You know what I mean? Because they don't have the clout yet. So
that shit's so stupid.
And you've been there for 5 years. So like I actually genuinely I appreciate you coming on here, Mel, and speaking on it, and you know for what it was and being transparent and giving it your all and not being a bitch about
always, bro. Always be fucking humble. First off, thank you for having me. But second, that fucking LA clout shit is fucking so stupid, bro. I can't stand that shit.
Whack, bro. When I first went to LA for the first time ever, I was like, oh, I want to move here so bad. Like before I got there. Got there and then like I could tell you that shit off air, like you know more personal shit. But after that, I was like, bro, I'm an East Coast guy. Like I'm out of that.
I don't like being in LA. Trust me,
right. You're probably in the crib all day, dude. You know what I mean?
I'm in the crib all day. I rub a lot of people wrong because I'm just on my level, and it's like, yo, I obviously don't give a fuck about your clout chasing, fucking, or if you have clout, I don't. Then I'm even more of a dick. So I'm like, listen, if you try to flaunt some shit in my face, you are very insecure, and I'm very secure. So you can fuck yourself.
I'm on board with that. I'll tell you the story another time because like it's on some personal relationships that we probably both know. But like, but we'll close it out there.
Well, fuck yeah.
Thanks so much for tuning in and to another episode of the Kids at Work Matt Corn podcast. Mike, you got anything to say?
If you don't know who I am, go listen to my music. Obviously, it's Mike's Dead on any platform. And you want to reach if you listen to this and found any this information helpful or I don't know. Resonated with any of it, reach out to me on Instagram, send me a DM or some shit. I might not see it, but I might. So
your facts.
Shout out Matt to have me on.
Yeah. Watch out in 2021. I'm sure Mike or whenever it works, I'm sure Mike's gonna be touring. Oh my god, I didn't even fucking do that, bro. I put up a little questionnaire and had like people ask you questions and shit. Didn't even tell that. We'll touch that for the next time then. Fuck it. Mad City's requesting you for places, so fuck yeah, watch out for whenever he drops those tour dates, whenever it's reasonable to fucking tour.
Fire, let's get it.
Yeah, you know the vibes. All right, meal later.